And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And I thank you for tuning in today. I've got a great show for you today. I've got a great guest joining me. We're going to talk construction today, renovation, rehab, those things that we do to these distressed houses that we like to buy. You know, taking that run-down, smelly old house that all the neighbors hate and turning it around, turning it into a diamond that people will pay you handsomely to rent, to live in. These are the projects that help you create cash flow and build wealth. And to help me, I'm bringing on a general contractor, or GC, right? You'll hear that acronym, so that we can dive into the business together. We talk a lot on this program, by the way, about building a team. And having a great GC on your team is hugely important. And this guy, he's been in the business for quite a while, a quarter of a century, 25 years, and a longtime part of the Lifestyles Unlimited vendor marketplace, vendor team here at in DFW. In fact, over 15 years now, I think, award-winning, multiple times vendor of the month, multiple times vendor of the year, 5 out of 5 stars on our internal ranking review platform. By the way, if you are a member of Lifestyles Unlimited or become one, you do have access to our vendor marketplace. That really helps you build out the team. But anyhow, without further ado, I want to welcome Blake Johnson with Finishing Touches to the show. Blake, how are you today?
Doing good, man. Thanks for having me on. Greatly appreciated. That all sounded great until I heard the quarter of a century, and I really felt old.
is that not crazy? I was looking at your website, founded 1999. That's 25 years in the business. How's it feel?
You know, it feels, I don't really think about it like that. It feels like it was just yesterday that me and you were meeting in Carrollton and walking one of those houses.
Yep.
You know, it's gone by, you know, as everybody says, you know, it goes by fast. So it definitely doesn't feel like it's been 25 years, but I mean, I go back and look at the timeline and it matches.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for me, I became a member of Lifestyles back in early 2012. So it's been over a dozen years for me. Same thing. Doesn't seem like it. Time flies when you're having fun, I guess. What do you think? How many houses have you touched and improved over that time?
You know, we tried to put a pencil to that one day, and I think we came up with over 5,000.
Wow. So a couple hundred per year?
Well, yeah. We're averaging, you know, 200 to 225 houses a year.
So you're somebody that's out there doing this stuff, not just daily, but maybe multiple times a day. So you're seeing a lot, right? You're touching a lot. You have a quarter of a century. That is a ton of experience. And for the listener's sake, I didn't mention this. I'm in Dallas-Fort Worth. You are also in Dallas-Fort Worth. Maybe tell us a little bit about Finishing Touches. What sort of area do you cover? Where do you go? What do you do?
We cover the greater Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex. We go as far south as like Cedar Hill, DeSoto, Duncanville, as far north as like Frisco and Plano, as far east as Rowlett, and as far west as Weatherford. So it's a pretty big brush stroke that we cover the metroplex. You know, we get people all the time that ask if we go, you know, out to Waco and, you know, Tyler, and we just can't cover those markets efficiently. What happens is I've done some, you know, as far out as like Greenville, and I just can't handle the customer service side of it, and I feel like I don't do a good job managing the project when they're that far out because I can't get eyes on them. I can't have our project managers have eyes on them consistently like we do here in town.
Yeah, but that's still a pretty big territory. Lifestyles is now national in scope. I was talking with a GC just the other day I guess he was in Knoxville proper, and I was looking at a property that was outside of Knoxville in a suburb. That guy would not go there, and it was 30 miles. So I was like, all right.
Oh, yeah, we're covering probably, you know, an hour, 20 minutes radius from our office, which would be about usually ends up being, when I punch it in, it's usually about 50 miles is probably our max.
Wow. Okay. So, you know, thinking about the Lifestyles process, You are a key part of the process for a lot of rental investors at Lifestyles, and you've been around so long. Can you just maybe in a nutshell from your perspective, since you've been part of the vendor marketplace for so long, kind of give us a 30,000 view of the Lifestyles model? What are we as investors trying to do?
Well, our goal as investors is to build wealth and build a passive cash flowing machine, mailbox money type of situation. And we do that through building, you know, it sounds a little corny, but it's 100% true. We do that through building relationships and forging the relationships with our different, you know, our lenders, our contractors, our insurance salespeople. You know, it's all about building those relationships. So when the deals come, you've already got that team established and you can move. Not only can you move on the property quick, but you feel confident that you're in good hands.
I want to understand and help the listener understand just what should I expect a general contractor to do, say from the moment I first find a property that I'm interested in up through maybe my refinance or maybe even beyond. What are you doing for me?
Well, Andy, it's really an interesting topic that we probably could go into for quite some time. You know, the biggest thing is now, to be clear, we're talking about general contracting for real estate investors. We're not talking about for people's homes and their personal homes and things of that nature, because it is a different animal completely. So when you're working with a general contractor on your investment, that contractor should be educating, teaching, and almost mentoring to a certain degree if you have a really competent contractor. I tell people all the time when they're interviewing them, you know, like when you're getting the bid from the client, from the contractors at the house, and they say, you know, and the client is, you know, has their whole scope of work that they've created, which is good. It's not a bad thing at all. But you're really wanting to measure, and it's an interview process. So what better way to interview somebody than to let them speak? You really can get a feel for what they know and how they do it. So the way I like to handle it is the investor says, okay, here's my property. Here's what it's going to appraise for. What do you think we should do? And if the contractor starts to go in and on about how, well, you tell me what you're thinking and, you know, give me some ideas and we'll go from there, then that may be either a contractor that's more geared towards homeowner work and they're not familiar with the investment side of it, or they are new to the investment side and they need to be coached as well. And that should be a concern for you.
Yeah, very good. I had a question later for you on red flags, and that's clearly one when working with a new general contractor. Now, if I find a good property, like here I got one that came out as an email blast from one of the Lifestyles Realty. This is not in Dallas. It's somewhere else. But, you know, it tells me, you know, purchase price should be around $100,000. ARV, right, after repair value, that's one of the numbers you like to hear, $235,000. I need to figure out what the renovations are to get it there. Is that when I say, hey, Blake, can you go or whoever the general contractor is, can you go take a look at this house? Let me see what the scope of work looks like in your view, right?
Yes. Yes, that's correct. Now, typically, I can't speak on the national level. I can speak on the local level that, you know, a lot of times with Lifestyles, maybe they've already have the property vetted before it comes out. Or maybe they haven't been able to vet it yet, and then you do need to get a contractor out there to view it and give you those numbers. And then you do need to make that phone call and say, hey, can you get out there, take a look, and kind of give me some feedback on what you're thinking, because I'd like to, you know, make a move on that property. And it's interesting, Andy, I get probably one email a day from a new member. I just had one that just came in actually last night from a member out of state that is working on building their team, and they wanted to do a formal introduction. And that's the first step right there, to be honest. And I know that they teach it, but so many people don't do it. And it's a critical role because it opens up lines of communication.
Yeah, it's better to have that conversation just generally, broadly now before I'm behind, you know, behind the curve trying to get everything together because I'm under contract right now. Now the fuse is burning. And time is short and stress is high. So you do work with investors from out of state.
I do a lot of work with investors out of state, Andy. I mean, they're actually probably my favorite clients to work with. And part of it is because they don't they don't get here and get tied up in the minutia because they are out of state. I mean, Lifestyles' reach is so far. I mean, we've got clients that are members of Lifestyles as far as Israel and Australia.
Yeah.
So, and I've worked for those people, and we've bought and sold bought, rehabbed, rented, and sold houses here locally with those people that we've never even met them, other than online.
How do you manage that with them? What are your processes? What does it look like when you're working with, say, somebody from Israel or Australia? Obviously, we have time zone differences, but how do you keep them informed?
We have a system that we use, and it's basically like a portal that you log into. It's similar to Facebook for jobs, but they have access, and there's a dashboard, and there's communication throughout the company. Our project managers go out in the field at least about 2 to 3 times a week, and they're taking pictures and doing a video and uploading that information to the server so the member or client can view the access, view and access the portal and see the pictures and the videos and the updates. And there's a calendar that kind of shows you. It's a loose calendar, but it gives you an idea of the construction timeline. And it's a portal that everybody can communicate to throughout our company. And it works really well, you know, but it's only good as the people that use it. So it has to be interactive both ways. If it's only interactive one way, it doesn't really work that well.
Meaning I, as the investor, should be checking in periodically and looking at the pictures and looking at the videos. And, you know, I've done a number of projects with you, Blake, and it's a very good system. And I'm in Dallas. I could easily drive across town, DeSoto. I've got a few down there, got, you know, down to Arlington, wherever, and look at these things. But I don't think you want me spending a lot of time hanging out at the property, do you?
Well, I don't know. This is where I get off the rails a little. The Lifestyles model, I believe, teaches you should go by once a week and do an inspection. I personally don't want you there because the more that you go there, the more that you're going to create possible change orders, or you're going to get emotionally attached to the property and want to start spending more money than possibly what we need or making changes because, unfortunately, maybe we did go over budget. Now you're trying to cut the scope of work to compensate for the over budget, and that's going to actually ultimately impact the potential of the appraisal on the back end.
Yeah, so a lot of variables.
We're kind of working off that appraisal.
Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of variables. I agree, you know, it is good to have eyes on the property, but, you know, like my solution there is I just don't talk to anybody when I'm there. I just pop in real quick, get back out because I got other things to do too, you know. So the more conversations I have on site, the worse it is, I guess. But and it's funny, you know, I have a sticker in on one of my filing cabinets that I know you've handed these out in the past. I don't know if you still have them. It says, "It's not my house, it's my investment." And I think that speaks to the point of stay out of there. Don't be trying to make decisions based on what you know of your own personal house, right? Do you encounter that still? Have problems with the homeowners renovating to their personal level?
I do, and it's always with the first-timers. Once we get them in there and we get them a little trained up, they kind of back off that. But, you know, I was having a conversation with a member just yesterday, and he was like, "Well, you know, I know you said to keep both bathtubs. They weren't in that bad of shape, but my wife was in the home the other day, and she saw them, and she can't stand them." And I said, "Okay, then we're going to tear them out." And he was kind of got quiet, and he was like, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, I've learned I'm not every hill's worth dying on. And I've told you my thoughts. And if you don't take my thoughts, then we'll just do what you think and we'll move forward. But I don't think you need to replace them. But if she wants them replaced, we'll do it." So, you know, you can lead them there, but at the same time, if they can't take the advice that you're giving, then I'm just going to do what they want. Because at the end of the day, they are the customer.
It's a learning process, right? First house is difficult. Second house is easier. Third is easier after that. We're going to head into our next break. We'll be right back.
Got questions? Call Lifestyles Unlimited at 855-497-4335. The Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues next.
Lifestyles Unlimited wants you real estate retired. Learn the roadmap to wealth building. Impact your family for generations.
Our kids are actually involved, and so they're learning the ropes. They see this in their future. It's benefited our children in the way they think of their future. It's taught them how to think in the millions.
Learn from the best. Lifestyles Unlimited. Now's the time to take action. Go to GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Enter code 2024 for a $297 2-year membership. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. That's GiveMeTotalFreedom.com.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. Thanks again for tuning in today. I'm joined today by Blake Johnson. He's with Finishing Touches, general contractor, been around for a while. If you missed the earlier part of the show, go to lifestylesunlimited.com. This will be archived there. And if during the course of the show any questions have come to mind that you would like to ask me, you can send those my way to askandy@luinc.com. Again, askandy@luinc.com. And Blake, if somebody wants to reach out to you, you mentioned a new member had just sent you an email. How do they do that?
They can reach us at finishingtouchesremodeling.com, or they can go to that's our website, or they can email us at blake@finishingtouchesremodeling.com, or they can call the office at area code 817-451-6565. That's 817-451-6565. Ask for Blake or Andrea.
Andrea, yeah. I've talked to Andrea a lot over the past decade plus as well. You have a great team around you. I will say that. It moves very well. And, you know, earlier in the show, you mentioned education, and I do have to throw this out there. When I joined, I want the listener to understand this. When I joined 12-plus years ago, my wife and I, neither of us knew anything about real estate investing, and now it has retired her ahead of me, in fact, from corporate America. And the things that everybody does at Lifestyles Unlimited, not just the education team, the mentors, but also guys like Blake Johnson, they help us with our education. They help us continue to grow and understand the process and become better investors. And in fact, Blake, I know over the years you've gone out and looked at properties for me and probably saved me from a few bad ones, said, hey, you know, this one is beyond gone. keep on moving.
You know, Andy, that brings up an interesting conversation point is, a lot of people ask me, you know, hey, what is the biggest mistake you see investors make? And ironically is, you know, the answer sounds a little harsh when I say it, but it's true. They don't listen to me. So if you got somebody with as much experience as our company has, and they're telling you this is probably not a good deal, and you still proceed forward, well, then that's on you. That's 100% on you. But you'd be surprised how often I hear that.
Yeah, people get their I got to get another property. I got to get my first property. They become married to the property. Blake, I became married to a property. We did buy it, and I had, at the end of the process, about $400 in equity. I basically paid too much. It was in the neighborhood I grew up in. You know, I was like, I love this area, you know. But in the long run, real estate is very forgiving, and I wound up cashing out $60,000+ in a cash-out refi, you know, a number of years ago. So the good news is, if you do make a mistake, you can roll on, but it is very important to listen. You build this team for a reason. Listen to them, and not just Blake, but, you know, we typically buy with hard money, and our hard money lenders have steered us away from properties over the years as well. So it's really good to have a good, strong network around you. Now, when you do say, hey, careful, this one's looking a little rough, you know, thinking about renovations, what does a renovation look like these days? What are we doing?
So in the local market, the renovations are actually quite hairy, to be honest with you. It's not uncommon for the renovations to be pushed in this $50,000, $60,000, even $70,000 range. And a lot of that is due to the ages of the homes that we're renovating. As, you know, the neighborhoods are turning, they're turning at a fairly rapid rate too, but the homes are more distressed. They need more work done to them because they are, you know, they're just in worse shape than they were. You know, the days of finding, you know, I remember a long time ago, Andy, me and you were talking earlier about buying homes 1975 and newer. There was a price per square foot that we could use and plug and play that. Well, that's kind of out the door now because there is no 1975 or newer. Everything is, you know, we're buying stuff. Heck, I was looking at one the other day that was built in 1923 for a member.
Wow.
That's a 100-year-old home.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way around it. That's 100 years old.
But you know what? That's okay. One of our mentors, Nicole, she has, I think she calls it her 1908 house, because she bought this house that was built in 1908, been making her a lot of money, created a ton of equity. The process works. It doesn't matter the age. We may just have to do a little bit more work to the house to turn it around.
It's just numbers in the larger rehab. That's all it is. I mean, it just looks scarier, but really it's just rehab, man.
Yeah, and I don't know what you think about this. I've got a number. The ages of my properties range from 1950. I think the newest is 1987. We got stuff in the 60s and in the 70s. And I got to tell you, my feeling, maybe it's just me, those 50s builds seem to be almost constructed a little bit better than some of the ones I've picked up in the late 60s or even the 70s. Do you see that, or is it just me being crazy here?
No, I think we went through a period, I think you're 100% correct, where like the 1905s and stuff like that, 1908 homes, those were built with products that we just had. You know, they were a little bit, I think we got into an era around the 50s where we were really focusing on construction and really doing a good job. And then I think our area probably exploded somewhere around the mid-60s, and then we really started cutting corners in some of the, and the bigger home builders were probably moving in and really just, you know, stamping out production style homes as opposed to really trying to make a craftsman home and a quality home. I agree with you 100% on that.
So I'd say there's some upside then to those older houses with the perhaps bigger rehab budgets. What's pushing the rehab budget up? Is it labor? Is it cost of materials? Is it just the fact that I have to hit every single one of the big five? Maybe tell us what those big five are, by the way.
The big five is going to be roofing, foundation, electrical, central heat and air, and plumbing. You're basically doing all big five. So here's the upside to the older homes, Andy. When you're done, everything's new. The service calls are basically nil because yep. You're getting new sewer, you're getting new water, you're getting new electric, you're getting new air conditioning, you're probably getting a new roof, probably having foundation work done, and everything's new. So the bones have gone back. It's like a complete rebuild almost.
And these older homes tend to be in older areas, more central. And although we saw a lot of urban flight out to the suburbs, I think, during COVID, but people are coming back. And then these are more, you know, becoming again more high demand, you know, areas like Oak Cliff, right? It's a great area now, right?
Everything around downtown, you know, all the areas right around downtown, over off of 35 in Fort Worth, off of 35 South and Barry, 35 and Seminary, and then in Dallas, you know, off of 30, and like you said, Oak Cliff, those areas are just, they're really getting hot really quick.
Okay, so big five, learn how to handle those, learn the cost, right? Have a good GC, general contractor like Blake, to look at these things and give you a solid estimate and not ask you a ton of questions. I know, Blake, I think one time you asked my wife what color did she want the walls painted, and she turned it back on you and said, whatever you think works best. We didn't have that conversation ever again, right? So have somebody that can put that together for you, right? Like you, I've seen nothing close to what you've seen, but I've seen a lot over the years, and it is amazing. But again, to the listener, scary stories, right? Smells bad, looks bad, all that bad stuff. But we're going in and we're turning these things around. And Blake, you did a hoarder house for me just down the road here a couple years ago. That thing was beautiful when it was done. Appraised higher than I thought. Rents better than I thought. People have been in there forever. They love the house, right? So we're turning these things around and making them shine. I am curious, maybe just quickly, you know, we're talking about houses in different parts of town that you've seen. Are there certain municipalities or cities that are easier to work with than others? Is that something I should think about as an investor?
Ooh, I don't know if I can do this on air.
Don't name names. You can just say yes or no.
Yes, you probably do. There are certain municipalities that are more challenging to work for. It's not that you can't navigate it. It just, you know, what it amounts to, Andy, is just it's going to take a little bit longer. And time translates into extra, you know, extra couple of bucks here and there. Navigating certain cities with permits, it just takes time.
Yeah. And I talk about this periodically on the show. You know, sometimes, like, there are certain cities have rental registration programs, and they're going to inspect the property before the tenant, the resident, can move in, or they're going to inspect it after they move in, oddly enough. And, you know, they may red or green tag it, creates more work for me, et cetera. But you just need to call around before you invest in a new-to-you city and figure out what is involved here. What do I need to think about? And talk with other investors as well. Now, I am curious, speaking of other investors, you work with a lot of clients, right? Both, I know you do both rental owners as well as flippers. And you also work with both Lifestyles Unlimited members and non-members. Do you notice any differences between Lifestyles and non-Lifestyles members when you get to working with them?
Absolutely. And you know what's funny is the difference is the Lifestyles members, 50% of them, when they first start, they are more challenging to work for than the other investors.
Why is that?
And the reason is because they haven't gone through the program. A lot of them are bullheaded, and I say this with love, okay? A lot of them may be engineers or attorneys, doctors, lawyers, you know, those high net worth individuals. and they're used to running the show, and now they're actually kind of coming in blind into something that they don't know anything out of, but they still have that mentality of that, I know what I'm doing, I can handle this. So what's interesting is they start off that way, but as soon as they get into the program and they really get submerged into what they're doing, the script flips, and then they become this almost amazing passive client, and they become a textbook investor. So it's about them following the program and going through the steps and learning the motions. And then you got the other half that already is kind of like has that mentality of, hey, I just want to get in and I want to get just like you, Andy, I just want to retire and get out of my job.
Yeah.
And so the model works, but you have to work the model, and it works absolutely almost flawlessly.
What you're describing is the educated investor. Some people join the program, haven't really gone through the rigors of the education, and there's a lot. I mean, there really is a huge amount of education and training and seminars. And, you know, there's a lunch and learn coming up later this week, I think, on airship and how I handle the bequeathing the property to my son, et cetera. So there's a lot of learning that you can do, but you need to do it so you can work well with guys like Blake. So it sounds like the Lifestyles.
That's my point.
Yeah. Lifestyles guys are pretty darn educated, right? Ultimately, eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you know, and the thing is, Andy, is everybody pays to join, but it's those people that don't want to do the work that are the hardest because they don't understand that it is work. It's a mini full-time. I mean, it's a part-time job in the beginning until you get educated.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just improving yourself, you know, building your own knowledge base. And those are things you can do after hours right at home. The workload is not on getting out and painting the walls and putting in new light fixtures. That's what you're doing. That you take that off my plate. So because when I started, I worked a full-time job. My wife worked a full-time job. We did not have time to do that. We did not have the skill sets to do that. So we happily outsource that to, you know, guys like yourself. But you have to use those tools, the teammates, and be sure to be in tune with the education. And speaking of education, I know you and your team come out to quite a few events. I see you at the case study here in town. We also do our single family road trips, and you'll pop up from time to time. Do you have any of those in the future where we'll see you out on one of the road trips?
Actually, I'm doing next week.
Oh, this month.
Next
okay.
Next week's road trip. Yeah, we're doing that.
So what happens at a road trip? Because these things, I'll tell for you and for the listener, these things were important, hugely important for me understanding what it is to be a real estate investor. What happens there?
Probably one of the most valuable components in your educational tool bag is going to the outdoor road trips. We're going to be going to a property and walking the property that an investor has purchased. It's either going to be in the beginning stages, or it's going to be towards the middle stages, and we're going to be able to touch it, smell it, and feel it. We're going to walk through, we're going to answer questions, try to get our head wrapped around what we're doing, how we're doing it, and why we do what we do. So it's a great opportunity to get some real hands-on experience. And with that, it's extremely eye-opening to the investors, especially the new ones that haven't done it before or that are just getting, because you're going to see every road trip, you're going to see something different. It's just inevitable because every home has its own issues.
We'll talk numbers, the intangible sort of stuff, and you'll get to see and smell the tangible. Hopefully it doesn't smell like those hoarder houses. I'll tell you what, Blake, we're coming to the end of the show. Man, this has been a great show. I've enjoyed the conversation. I hope the listener has taken a lot away. One more time, how do they reach you if they're interested in having a conversation as well?
Yeah, feel free to call the office at 817-451-6565, ask for Blake or Andrea, or you can email us at blake@finishingtouchesremodeling.com.
Very good. Well, hey, I thank you for taking time. I know you're off to that next stinky, smelly house. Go get it. Go get it done. Turn it around. Make it shine. And we'll get that thing rented and start to enjoy the lifestyle. Because remember, it's not the money. It's the lifestyle. You have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.